The Radio Today programme with Audioboo.
You found the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Trevor Dann, and our main story this week is the 40th birthday of commercial radio in England's second city.
Good morning, my name's Kevin Morrison, and I'm pleased to be one of the first to welcome you to BRMB, the new independent radio station in Birmingham.
More of that later in David Lloyd's Radio Moments, but yes, it is 40 years ago this week that BRMB became England's first commercial radio station outside London, and the event is being celebrated by denizens of West Midlands Broadcasting, including the man who runs BRMB 40 years on. Of course, it's now called Free Radio Birmingham, but he's still called Phil Riley. And Phil, you began your illustrious career at BRMB, didn't you?
I did. I'm not quite old enough to have been there at the start back in 74, but I was a graduate trainee back in 1980, and it shows how successful BRMB had become by then, because the only reason that we had graduate trainees was we were funded by this thing called secondary rental, which was this great scheme that the government and the IBA introduced, which said, if you're making too much money as a radio station, we're going to take it off you, or you can spend it on very worthy things. And one of the worthy things BRMB did was to say, oh, let's train some graduates up. And I was very fortunate to be one of those graduates back in 1980.
So for those of us who can't hear free radio, what does it sound like? I mean, how would it compare with, say, Capital or Heart?
Well, I think Capital was always different to the pop stations outside of London, because Capital had LBC as its sort of alter ego, and Capital was allowed to be a real entertainment music station 24/7 right from the word go. I mean, it did do some speech, I know, and it had some phone-ins, but essentially it was an entertainment station. Outside of London, all of the stations, whether it was BRMB or Piccadilly or Clyde, had to be all things to all people, and that meant, as well as having high personality, they also had to have phone-ins and specialist music programmes and specialist speech shows, lots and lots of news. And I think that all things to all people era probably started to fade, I guess, mid-80s towards the end of the 80s, didn't it, when we started to see stations split. So I think in the early days, radio stations were known for lots and lots of different things, which you just never would get today. The whole environment has dramatically changed, obviously.
Your colleague David Lloyd has posted the original application for BRMB, and I noticed that it was intended to have no less than 62 staff.
Yeah.
How many has it got now?
Well, actually, in the old BRMB building, which is now the Free Radio building on Broad Street, there are probably 80 or 90 people. But obviously we do output not only for Birmingham, but we do Coventry. Much of the Wolverhampton and Worcester output comes from here, and the sales teams that cover the whole of the West Midlands come from here. So it's a more densely staffed operation, but it's doing more and it's covering more people.
One of the things that BRMB has always been noted for, I think, is its events. We think of the two strangers and a wedding, and BRMB listeners being invited to sit on blocks of ice a few years ago. And I noticed this Valentine's Day, you staged a dog wedding. Events, are they an important thing for BRMB still?
Yeah, one of the... I think we do recognise that actually doing stuff that people talk about is important for any radio station, and particularly one which is trying to not be just a music jukebox. And certainly that's one of the things that we're very much not here. Whether it, you know, we're now as free, our non-music line is never a dull moment. That's part of what we believe we ought to be about. And I have to say, I think as a line, that would apply equally to BRMB during its 30-odd years on air. Never a dull moment seems to us to be, you know, exactly the right turn of phrase for what we're trying to do. And as you say, BRMB married two strangers a few years ago, and we married two dogs last Friday. And tear-jerking it was, Trevor.
Oh, I'm sorry, we'll miss it. But it'll probably be online somewhere, though, won't it?
It is. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, that's part of the benefit of being 40 years on. The technology allows us to do all sorts more than just broadcast.
Now, of course, every radio station always celebrates the people who have gone on to what are sometimes described as bigger or grander things on, for instance, national radio. But I think BRMB, as always, produced people who perhaps could have gone in that direction but chose to stay in the West Midlands and became enormous stars in Birmingham and surrounding areas. You think immediately of Les Ross and Ed Doolan.
Yeah, I think Ed... Well, the Holy Trinity, of course, I think would be Ed, Les and Tony Butler, and I think you'd be hard-pressed to choose another local station where you could find three people who epitomised three of the skill sets that were required, I suppose, in those early days. I mean, Les, clearly the personality breakfast presenter who epitomised his hometown and delivered the breakfast show that made people feel as though they were part of their hometown. Then you had Ed, who was an implant, an Aussie who came via Germany and ended up really being taken on board by the people of Birmingham. But his style was about phone-ins and consumer affairs. And obviously he spent a great deal of time at BRMB, but then took that act and those skill sets off to the BBC, where probably over time it was more suited. And then finally you had Butler doing sport, and I think one of the great things that you can credit Butler with is he did it in a different way, and I think he characterized that whole mindset of commercial radio in the early days, which was, okay, we've got to do something, but can we do it in a different way to the BBC? And certainly Tony Butler, in the way in which he personalized sport and got on the side of the fans against sometimes the managers and the players, I think epitomised a different way of broadcasting, which still we see today. And there are many things that we see on the BBC today that you would say, well, actually, a lot of that stuff started on commercial radio.
When you were running Heart in the West Midlands and BRMB were your competitors and you were trying to do them down, what was your competitive strategy to try and beat BRMB?
I think we were trying to be slightly narrower in our focus and slightly more music intensive. And we obviously were blessed with a bigger transmitter, so we could afford to play this big regional card. But very much, as is the case today with Heart, which is actually, if you like that type of music, you're going to get it in a more intense, powerful form from Heart than you will from anywhere else on the dial. And I think we'd started that back in the 90s. That's not to say that we didn't have personality on the station, but mainly at breakfast time, and the rest of the day it was much more music intensive. And I think that's still the case today. And Heart still has a role to play, but you know BRMB versus Heart, now Free Radio versus Heart, it's still nip and tuck 15-20 years on from the launch of Heart.
Now, as you were saying, you've got a number of stations in the West Midlands, all branded Free Radio. If I'm moving between, say, Birmingham and Coventry and Wolverhampton, am I hearing pretty much the same programming all day long?
Well, you're hearing the same music log, but at breakfast time and at drive time and at weekends, at the key times at weekends, you're hearing separate presenters, because each local transmitter gets its own breakfast and its own drive. In the middle of the day and weekends and evenings, there is common programming. But the great thing about it is it's common programming, which is still essentially from round here. And because there's only four separate franchise areas, if you like, being served, it means that the guys that are doing those network shows can drop into local output at the drop of a hat. So you'll still, even if you're listening to a network show, actually quite often, 2-3 times an hour, you might be hearing a link which is purposefully recorded just for Coventry or just for Wolverhampton, depending upon what's happening at the time of day. So, you know, although we are doing more networking, it's still within the context of a service and an operation and a company that's geared to serve the people of the West Midlands.
So can you pull, for instance, your Worcester people out of the network so you can, for instance, this week talk about flooding?
Yeah, well, we were doing exactly that last week. Worcester was running local programming, from 6 o'clock in the morning all the way through the day to ensure that the people who were listening on the Worcester transmitters were getting up-to-date information for them, which would not be as relevant for people who were listening in Birmingham and Wolverhampton. And with any particular local set of circumstances, we can do that at the drop of a hat, and do on a very regular basis.
So while I've got you, Phil, what's your take on the arrival of Communicore in the UK?
Well, I think it's a great thing from a listener perspective, it's got to be good that there are more rather than fewer organisations. I'm not saying that as a, you know, clearly if I was the owner of one of the bigger groups, I might want to have more of it for myself. But I think from any perspective, more competition is good. I know Dennis quite well of old. I used to work for him a few years ago doing a bit of consulting, and he's a pretty competitive guy, and they're a pretty competitive organisation. And I imagine Dennis has come in here to make a mark. So I think it's a good thing.
Did you think about bidding for those global stations yourselves?
I think one of the things that you need to remember about Orion is a big part of our organisation is Gem 106 in the East Midlands. And certainly from the perspective of the Competition Commission, the East Midlands was a really critical area for them to focus on. So I think from our perspective, you could see from the get-go that actually we'd have ended up in as much regulatory tangle and turmoil as Global had been in. So it wasn't really an option for us.
So back to BRMB and its 40th birthday and its successor, Free Radio Birmingham. What are you doing this week to celebrate?
Well, Les is making his debut on Free Radio between 9 and 10 on Wednesday, hosting Guest the Year. But purposefully, it won't be 1974, so we're not going to make it too easy for the listeners. So Les is coming in to the end of the breakfast show, and then he's going to host our hour-long music memory show, which will be fantastic. And then later on in the afternoon, early evening, we're having a civic reception. Lord Mayor's turning out, local civic dignitaries, the usual suspects. But more importantly, many of the people who have played such a key role over the last 40 years, both for BRMB and latterly for Free Radio, one or two nice speeches. And we've had a specially commissioned video for that day made, celebrating 40 years and capturing on film some of the comments of the various people who've been a big part of the station during its various incarnations. You know, from the early days through to that mid-90s renaissance when Richard Park and the Capital guys came in, through to what we're doing today. So it really is a very interesting film.
Well, we wish you every success with that, Phil. Have a great time. Congratulations to everybody involved in BRMB and Free Radio Birmingham. This is the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor Dan. After this, we'll have the news from Roy Martin.
In these days of interactivity with the World Wide Web, make it easy for your listeners to share their voices with you via Audioboo. They simply download the app to their mobile device, record a boo, and send to your station. It's that simple. And just to prove a point, this ad was recorded as a boo and sent in from the corner shop. Audioboo, sharing voices with the world.
Thank you, Trevor. Play counts from online streaming services are to be included in the UK singles chart later this year. The official charts company says there's no firm date for the change and they're still working on the finer details. The BBC Trust is to review all national radio networks operated by the BEEB. It's a regular thing, so nothing out of the ordinary, and we should find out the results next year. And finally, as you've been hearing on this very programme, Commercial Radio has been celebrating 40 years of radio in Birmingham this week. BRMB was the fourth independent station to launch after LBC, Capital and Radio Clyde. That's the very latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Roy Martin.
UK-voiceover.com.
Audio production starting from £3.
UK-voiceover.com.
On Twitter at UK Voiceover.
Radio Moment.
These tests are being made in preparation for the opening of BRMB Radio, the independent local radio station for Birmingham.
Another 40th anniversary landmark for commercial radio this week, 19th of February, 1974.
Well, I'm going to be here every morning from now on, helping you to start your day the BRMB way. And I hope you're going to make it a habit, because, as our theme will tell you, it's the sound way to spend your day.
Never mind your worries, you'll forget them in a hurry. Let us show you how to really make your day. Stay here with us. It's the sound way to spend your day.
Yes, that's the BRMB theme, The Sound Way to Spend Your Day, written by local musicians Good and True, Brenda Scott and Johnny Patrick. BRMB time, 7 minutes past six.
The launch of BRMB this week in 74, the first English commercial station outside London. Its arrival was trumpeted by The Times, as was its first electronic newsroom. Also in The Times this week in 62, worries about the very idea of BBC local radio. The Leader column argued that 150 BBC local stations would reduce programmes to triviality and mediocrity. And it continued, even if the parish pump could be kept gurgling, it would have no listeners. It's 10 years since we last heard Letter from America.
Good morning. Propped up there against my usual three pillows and reluctantly having just finished a favourite bedbook, the collected ribald musings of an old friend, Charles McCabe. I was feeling chipper enough to glance across at two bedside piles.
Alistair Cook, nearly 3,000 programmes in 58 years of Letter from America on Radio 4. And how many broadcasters start hosting a programme aged 38 and continue with it until they're in their 90s? Originally, that programme had been the other way around, and he dispatched the London Letter to America before he went on to emigrate. From one of the longest-running programmes in radio to one of the shortest. This week, 17 years ago, the start of just 8 months on Radio 1 Breakfast for Mark and Lard.
I'm sure that a lot of people like myself have been unable to get hold of the Farewell to the Biggest Show special souvenir commemorative limited edition Radio Times. He said, so I've had to make do with the ordinary issue, which dedicates 8 words on page 136 to your leaving.
Really?
Please, can I have a Cooey raspberry to make up for this?
Cooey!
Mark and Lard on Breakfast at Radio 1 from this week in 97 to October that same year. Staying with Radio 1 Breakfast, Simon Mayo's final edition was this week 13 years ago.
I'm actually very good at that time of the morning, so that when I wake up at 5 o'clock, like the first few minutes are... Oh, you know, I really want to go back to sleep. But then a cup of coffee or something and I'm OK. And then in to the studio by 5:45, go through all the papers, sort out if there's anything of amusement in there to ramble through. I have to work out what I'm going to say in the next link. I mean, a lot of people think you have scripts, but you don't. You work out roughly what you're going to say, and then you just let it happen and see what comes out.
Technical errors crop up from time to time, but possibly one of the most unfortunate was at Jazz FM this week 2 years ago. Now, we're not going to play too much of this, as it's a bit rude, as porn films often are.
I'm Paul Strongman, MD of Wishtrack. When I set up my own business, developing educational software, I quickly realised that I needed to take on...
A fader left open at Jazz FM 2 years ago. This week in 1947, the lead story was the power crisis, huge power cuts across the country. As a result, TV closed down, and on radio, the third programme was suspended, and the BBC Home Service and Light programme merged for 2 months. Imagine Radio 4 and 2 coming together for a couple of months. Some programmes have made it from radio to television, and one such show was Opportunity Knocks. It began on the BBC Light programme this week in 1949.
It's Huey Green! Opportunity Knocks! Yes, for the next half hour, the makers of Beecham's Pills and Pensic Tablets invite you to listen to the all-winners programme of Opportunity Knocks, with Jack Darvin's quintet and the talents and voices you, the listeners, have discovered. And here now to introduce the all-winners is your master of opportunities, Huey Green!
Opportunity Knocks, heard there a little later in its life on Radio Luxembourg. So, with Big Ben starting its daily broadcast this week 90 years ago, Talk Radio UK branded as TalkSport 14 years ago, and Great North Radio becoming Magic this week 16 years ago, those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David Lloyd. Thanks also to Roy Martin, to Phil Riley and Free Radio, and of course to you for listening. This has been a TDC production. I'm Trevor at trevordan.com. Looking forward to surviving the Brits and the BBC Folk Awards and talking to you again next week.